Jones and Keith, live from Gillette on WEEI, is presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
May into the wine. He throws and Bregman drives one high and deep in the left field. It is gone! Off the National Car Rental sign. Here's the pitch. It is grounded to the left side. Bregman picks it cleanly. On the run. Throws to first. In time. Game over. The Red Sox win 4-3. They take 2 of 3 from the LA Dodgers.
Well, how about that, Keith?
How about them?
The Red Sox can actually take a series from a quote-unquote good team.
Uh-huh.
They finally wrap up this gauntlet starting the second half, and a lot of listeners tried to warn us about it going in. Guys, you know, to start the second half, they're getting the Cubs.
I heard.
And then after the Cubs, it's the Phillies.
Phillies are good.
And look out.
Yep.
You come to Fenway Park after that, it's the LA Dodgers. Good luck to the Red Sox.
Practically a home game for the Dodgers.
Oh, it was.
I mean,
we'll get to that, but yep. There were a lot of Dodgers fans this weekend. Yeah, I wouldn't say they passed the test with flying colors by any means, but they're 4-5. They swept Tampa before that. I don't get why everybody excludes Tampa from that discussion. So 13 games against when the gauntlet started.
Yeah.
All against playoff teams.
Yep.
They wound up winning, what, 8 out of those 13? They did more than enough over this stretch, and I think it's important they at least won a series against those NL teams.
Oh, definitely. I feel like, you know, if they went 6-3, that would have been great. You would have been feeling great about that. But yeah, the way things were going, and you had lost, you know, 2 out of 3, you avoid a sweep, and then you lose the first one. You're like, oh my God, is this going to be the same thing where they lose 2 out of 3 again? Or, you know, the way it was even going on Saturday, you're like, are they going to lose this one too? But back-to-back big wins, and then this way, you only have 3 games until the trade deadline. So they did enough where you didn't waste the 10-game winning streak. You didn't waste where you were in the standings and all sort of the good vibes that we were talking about. You didn't waste that. You ended with, I would say, a positive overall. And now, you know, you go into this series, you're in it. Like, there's no excuses for Craig Breslow. Like, I think you've done enough where you absolutely should be buyers. And if you're not, and there's an open revolt like there's been in years past, I think it's warranted. Like, I think that they put themselves in a spot where, yeah, you need to be buying on Thursday's deadline.
Yeah, and I would say, if you recall how they started the second half last year, that was a full-blown disaster.
Yeah.
They avoided disaster this year. Like, they didn't get swept by the Cubs. They didn't get swept by the Phillies. Last year they came out, they got swept right away by the Dodgers. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees after that before they finally won a series. It's like, they couldn't have started the second half in worse fashion, dropping 5 out of the first 6, including a sweep to start it up. We've been asking what's different this year about the Red Sox compared to last year and the year before that. I think it's the talent level. I do think they'll be more aggressive. I think they proved that in the offseason. I still have faith they're going to make a big move by the deadline. It sounds like Duran is off limits, which I'm encouraged by.
Yeah.
Just because I think that points in the direction of them buying. They are running out of time to do it. I had asked them to make a trade by the time the Minnesota series rolled around. But what's the difference? The difference is they survived this gauntlet to start the second half.
Yeah.
They didn't pass it with flying colors. They didn't sweep everybody. They weren't beating up on these NL teams. But last year it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
This year they were able to right the ship and actually win a series coming out against a good team that a year ago swept them.
They're the second wild card team right now. Despite all their ups and downs and this losing record to start the second half, they are 1 game behind the Yankees, who don't have Aaron Judge for a while.
Correct. Placed on IL. Yep.
So no Aaron Judge, and you're 1 game back of them. You have a half game lead on the Mariners and the Rangers. You're the second wild card team. You are 6.5 out of first place in the division.
Whatever. All the wrong details.
Doesn't matter, but there's 3 wild card spots. You're holding on to the second one. Who knows what kind of free fall the Yankees could be in store for without their one awesome hitter out of the lineup for a little while. So you have Bregman back. He comes up with a massive hit during the game. You're going to be dealing with certain injuries, but it still goes back to Garrett Crochet at the top of the lineup. or I'm sorry, top of the rotation, Alex Bregman in the lineup with Roman Anthony. I know Meyer's banged up now, but some other guys, you know, the season, you don't want to waste the season that Sadon Rafael has given you or waste the season that some of these other guys are giving you. So, yeah, I think based on how they're playing, based on what they have on the roster, combined with just the state of the American League, which we keep having to point out, and it's a similar conversation with the Patriots. You know, the Patriots' schedule is so easy this year that even if you're like, well, they're not the most talented team, it's like, no, but they play all of the trash teams this year. And if you're the Red Sox, there's not a lot of good teams in the American League, so all you got to do is get into the playoffs. However, one thing we've already seen, Seattle has added, the Yankees have added. So some of these teams that you're kind of competing with, you know, we'll see what Texas and Tampa does, and obviously Toronto. Like,
yeah, Texas,
teams are going to add.
Texas, to me, is the scary one now.
They've won six straight.
Yeah.
They're kind of rolling.
And they have a winning pedigree. They were World Series champs 2 years ago. They have a big game pitcher. We were talking about trading for Eovaldi from them.
Yeah, I know.
Like, good luck with that. Now he's on the other side.
They might hang on.
Texas, to me, is probably the scariest team behind you, but I'm also not really afraid of the Mariners.
There's also room for both.
The Yankees are very pedestrian.
You or the Rangers.
Correct.
Like, you and the Rangers can both make the playoffs.
Correct.
Knock the Mariners out. Knock the Yankees out, for God's sake. I wouldn't rule that out.
So you mentioned the Patriots. We're live here. I should have said this earlier this hour. From Patriots training camp, day five, first day. Fully padded practices here at Gillette Stadium, and we're brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlaneEnergy.com. We're seeing a pretty familiar script play out here early on day five. Defense is on one field. Starting defense is on one field. Starting offense is on the other field. Drake May is on a field with Mike Vrabel. Like, Vrabel is consistently on that offensive field when they break down into these two different groups, Keith.
Yeah. No, and that's good to see. I mean, you know, he is the head coach, so he oversees the whole thing. Now, usually guys sort of like get lumped in, like, oh, he's a defensive head coach or he's an offensive head coach or whatever. But I think Vrabel, and he even talked about this in one of his opening press conferences, you know, he's not calling the plays on offense, but he is the head coach. So, like, some of the attention to detail stuff and clock management stuff and things you want to see a young quarterback improve upon, that does fall on the head coach. So as much as Josh McDaniels is going to be directly tied to Drake May's success this year, so is Mike Vrabel. I mean, he has to be. And so that's good to see. I mean, it's obviously early in camp, but you know, you also feel like Vrabel can always kind of slide over to defense and do that at any time he wants.
Well, that's kind of how I feel, too. It's like, all right, invest your energy. And I would have said this about Mayo. I'd say it about Bill, too, to a degree. But I feel better that Vrabel's involved over there, and he's not just, oh, Josh, that's your side of the ball. I'm over here.
Yep.
And, you know, you want your coach to be able to bounce back and forth. But I would say
Definitely.
The large majority of his time, he's focused in on that offensive field with that first-team offense.
It's also the group that needs the most help. So I like that.
No, it's true. Yeah. 617-779-7937. You guys can discuss this as well. Mixed in with some Red Sox thoughts. We'll get to more specific to the deadline. I feel like yesterday, Keith, I mean, Bregman with another massive hit. He's clearly not 100%, but just playing through these last couple of series. He won a game for him against the Cubs. He helped them win another game yesterday. Being able to go out there and gut it out and play through something, which, let's face it, wasn't always a hallmark of the last guy who was here, who they dealt out to San Francisco. Never mind playing on the field and playing at a high level as well defensively. I think that's very promising. They dodged what I felt were a couple of bullets yesterday
that
game. I thought Roman Anthony was hurt.
Same.
And he was dealing with something in the game. That would be a nightmare scenario for the team. And not far behind that is Chapman, who's been absolutely lights out. He looked human yesterday. He's throwing 95 miles an hour, which for him is like, you know, an Ephus pitch.
Yeah, you're like, what are you doing?
And he left the game. You're like, crap, he just blew out his arm. This ride that, you know, we always wondered how sustainable it was that he was going to be the most lights-out closer just about in the sport. Well, he finally turned into a pumpkin, and now he's hurt. Turns out it's just a back spasm. But I feel like they were walking a real fine line there yesterday, which hopefully is a slap in the face to Craig Breslow.
Yeah, wake up.
Get out there get somebody, because you can't just rely on these guys staying out there and staying healthy.
No, the whole series was kind of teetering. Because let's face it, every time Bregman has to sprint down the line, I kind of think he's going to pop his quad again.
Same.
And there were a couple of times couple series.
I give him credit for doing it,
yes,
but I don't love watching it. You know what I mean?
He's still great at third. He made a great play on the game we were at on Friday.
He did.
So he's still great in the field. He can obviously smack a home run here and there. But if he's on first base, he's not going to – he might not get to third on a hit to the outfield.
No.
He might not score for second.
Anything on the infield, if he slaps it down on the infield, not even going to be a close play at first.
Well, that's why, like, it feels like if he hits a ball and just his instincts, he's going to try to beat out a double play, for example. You're almost like, don't even worry about it. Like, we need you at third. We need you smacking dingers. Like, I don't need you to leg out. And same with Roman Anthony. Like, you saw him, and you're like, wait a minute. Like, is he hurt too?
Dude, I was afraid of that one.
Oh, my God. Well, he's not, like, the fastest guy either.
Nope.
You know, like, at all. I know he did have a triple yesterday, but he's not the fastest guy in the world. And you're like, so Meyer's already on the shelf. And then if you lose Bregman, Anthony, and Chapman, you're like, wait, what the hell? You're like, all right, now you have, like, no chance. So you're just like, fingers crossed, holding your breath on all those guys. But it seems like they did dodge a bullet on all of them. You know, Chapman maybe in a couple days will be back.
But that's lucky. That's another reason to make these moves. What felt like a ton of depth in the outfield and in your lineup, like, how are you going to get everybody in the lineup every day? That's already corrected itself to a degree.
That always happens.
And so, yeah, hopefully Breslow doesn't take the sitting down. I've been saying for a while, don't wait till the last day.
Yeah.
Don't wait till Thursday. It's an off day for the Red Sox. Get something done in this Minnesota series. I mean, preferably before.
Right.
But get something done in this Minnesota series. We're here now. And
we're in it.
I would like to see them.
Joe Ryan still play for the Twins?
Joe Ryan's still there.
Yeah. So he's here.
It'd be a pleasant addition is what that would be.
He's going to be at the ballpark. You could just walk right over and be like, hey Joe, you want to play for the Red Sox?
Joe, what are you thinking?
You know he does after talking to Bradford at the All-Star break.
Oh, he absolutely.
He's like, I love this time of year.
Absolutely
Trades.
Does. So the Red Sox played a quote-unquote home series this weekend against the Dodgers, Keith. We were there on Friday night.
I think
Saturday was ridiculous.
Even crazier, yeah.
Watching it on TV, you know, they had a couple of early home runs. It was Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez off Garrett Crochet before he locked it down. After that, the ballpark was insane.
It was Dodger fans.
It was all Dodgers fans, lots of blue, very loud for the Dodgers fans. And again, we heard some of that on Friday night. This was Cora asked about it after the game on Saturday.
You mentioned a couple times recently that the atmosphere here has felt like October.
Not in the first inning. That was oof. That was Dodger Stadium-like, to be honest with you. I never seen so many people from the opposition in one ballpark. That was different.
Yeah,
credit to them. They've done an amazing job throughout the years. Getting to October and making a habit of that, and their fan base, you know, they travel well, but that was loud. That was very loud. Never seen anything like that.
Never seen anything like it, he said.
Now, I mean, at Fenway.
Right.
Right. I think that's what he's talking about, because we've seen just on the telecast or listening to it, when they go to Baltimore or Tampa, like those are Red Sox games. I mean, even Minnesota tonight might be mostly Red Sox fans for all we know. But, at Fenway Park. But I don't even know if that's entirely true. I mean, maybe it's recency bias.
2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
2 years ago when the Dodgers were here, they threw a parade.
Literally a parade.
Dodgers fans. So
I feel like we've seen it time and time again. I feel like the Mets, there was a Blue Jays series. There's been a few series that even the Braves game. Was that 2 years ago?
Yes.
That's not a fan base you think travels.
Nope.
That was pretty loud when they were at the plate or a big strikeout or whatever else. But, yeah, I mean, so what do you don't think he's calling out the fans, though, or do you?
Well, I don't think he's calling out the fans, but I do think he was – I don't think he loved what he saw.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess in some ways that's calling out the fans. I mean, maybe it's an indirect shot at ownership, you know? Like,
but I think it's a little bit of like that because
the way you've ignored this team and been absentee owners has allowed other fan bases to come in and just dominate the ballpark.
Yep.
And maybe that's some of what Cora's – I'll be honest. I don't really know if it was a shot or just him kind of a little caught off guard by it, but it was noticeable.
I just think it's so expensive.
Who dropped that? That was Diggs?
So expensive to go to games.
So that was Gonzo on Diggs. Did Diggs get the first catch? I heard an ovation. It was May. Who was the first one? Kyle Williams got the first catch.
Okay.
Thank you, Turb.
All right, very good.
And so, May, you heard a big reaction to that. I actually missed it, but it was May to Williams. That last one Diggs just dropped. Diggs
had a
little case of the dropsies over the weekend, too.
Yeah,
that was one-on-one with Gonzo.
Yeah, they're doing one-on-one at the 5-yard line going into the end zone from here. So it's just one-on-one. There's nothing else going on. But, some pretty good coverage so far, at least from the ones we've seen. Missed diving catch, although I don't think his feet would have been about anyway.
That was the eraser, though, on coverage there, Keith.
That's good coverage.
It's a win for the rookie class is what that is.
Pretty solid.
So some one-on-one drills here. Antonio Gibson.
Yep, Gibson.
Reeling one in.
The touchdown. Do a little dance if you could.
So we'll keep our eyes on this again. Exciting first day in pads for the Pats. I was stunned, though, with the amount of Dodgers
so
fans
loud.
That were there.
It was pretty crazy how loud it was for even just like a base hit up the middle for the Dodgers. They're going nuts.
So do you think fans have embraced this Red Sox team? Like, do you think they're ready to do it? Are they kind of waiting until the playoffs? Are they waiting to see what the team does at the deadline?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks ago I would have said yes. Like, yep. At the All-Star break, there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of buzz. People were like, you know what, I didn't want to be in, but I am. There were a group of fans that were mad still about the Devers trade, but they're like, you know what, this team's won me over. I'm not rooting for the front office, but I am rooting for the players on the team.
Yep.
And I think they had enough guys that you said you were excited to watch. Like Roman Anthony, Garrett Crochet, Alex Bregman, like there's guys that you want. Seidon Rafaela, for God's sakes. There's a lot of guys that you want to see. I think the second half knocked the winds out of everybody's sails just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, you go from a 10-game heater to losing 4 out of 5. That's going to happen.
But a big trade coming off a series win over the Dodgers could bring people back.
I think this week, if you sign or if you make a trade for somebody that gets everybody's attention, that'll change things. And it'll feel like it did going into the All-Star break. And also, the further and further we get into the summer and they're in a playoff spot,
mm-hmm.
I think people are going to start to talk themselves into, like, yeah, this is a playoff team.
Yeah, no.
What are the oohing and aahing going on?
I think people are waiting for. So, a couple of plays. So, Diggs had a touchdown out in the left flat where he stretched out with the ball. DJ James, 30 on the defense. I've started to see Reese, among other beat writers, really highlight
him.
He had a pick a few days ago when we were here, Keith. He had a nice breakup in the end zone.
Who's that guy that just broke up that play? He celebrated, so I like
27?
Him.
27?
Who's that?
Marcellus Dial?
All right, I like him.
Like him? Part of the rookie class from a year ago?
He was pumped. He just made a great play.
I think Pop Douglas had trouble reeling that one in. It looked like a good throw from May. I don't think Douglas held on to it, so maybe Dial broke it up.
Ooh, is that a push-off?
A push-off that's there by Bourne.
That's a little push-off. It'd be a sell job, though, too.
Throw the flag there, Stripes, as they're going through some of these one-on-ones, corner on receiver with Drake May. Let's see if this one is in. A little back shoulder throw to Diggs.
Did he catch that?
Yeah.
How come the fans didn't go crazy, though?
Doesn't look like it.
Maybe he didn't.
Marcus Jones is celebrating, so maybe not. We got a tree right in front of us on that. So that's a tough view there.
I didn't bring my binocs. I was looking at CC Beans has a pair of binocs, little kid binocs, but they still work.
Oh, I have a pair of kid binocs from the aquarium, Lucas.
I was in a room this morning.
Lucas is a pair from the aquarium, rather.
I was waking her up today.
Yeah, exactly. We took him to the aquarium, and we bought something in the gift shop. How about that?
CC's laying in bed. I'm like, it's time to get up. And then she sees me rummaging through her stuff. She's like, what are you doing? She goes, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, you have binoculars? She's like, what? I go, binoculars.
She's like, call them binoculars?
I go, where are your binocs? She's like, what color are they? I'm like, you know. She's like, yeah, I don't think I have those anymore. I was like, ah.
Booty.
I'm like, I go, I need them for work. She goes, what?
Again, without the binocs, I'm not very confident saying any of this, but Booty just brought one in over Christian Gonzalez.
All right, well, that was a fun little drill right there.
That was good. Got the crowd going a little bit.
I would say advantage defense. Those guys had them locked up pretty good. Not a lot of separation from the offense.
No. Well, Bourne got plenty on that one play.
If you shove the guy to the ground.
Bourne got a lot of separation.
It's a good way to get open.
617-779-7937. Let's go to our pal Johnny in Brooklyn on the Red Sox and Keith Sky.
Johnny.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Chapman goes down, and our new closer, Henderson Hicks, steps up. I think he sucks, but you know what? He got it done with a little luck. The other day, you guys brought up a March Madness taller thing, and I just want to say I don't expect to win, but I hope to compete. And thanks, guys.
Johnny Brooklyn, that was a shout out to our guy Rome. There is what that was.
We're gonna have a smack off where we have all the callers call in and trash talk other callers.
Yeah,
and then we'll rack them, and then basically they'll just do the show for us for several weeks.
Send you advance,
right?
And then they advance.
We'll create a bracket. The 64 best callers. They'll take over the show for several weeks.
Right.
We'll just let them go nuts.
You don't want to hear from us.
No.
You're tired of hearing from us. You want to hear from the callers.
That's right.
In a bracket form.
Yes, finally. Give those guys, you get 2 minutes. 2 minutes on the clock. Just all your takes.
Nobody give them 2 minutes?
I forget what it is. It's a lot. I remember listening to that show a lot. They were like an affiliate when I was working up in New Hampshire.
Nice.
So they were the show. They were good Jim Rome lead-in.
Yeah,
so I listened to a lot of that show for a while.
Any thoughts on your guy Hicks as we got some competitive periods are starting here, Keith? First team offense, first team defense.
Love it. They're not taking anybody to the ground, though.
No,
but yeah, Jordan Hicks definitely got a little bit of luck. You know, Seidon Rafaela made a great play.
Tremendous play by Rafaela.
It was a sick play by Rafaela. And I love how they showed the replay on the big board, and the Red Sox just ran off the field. That was amazing. The umps must have been pissed because they didn't officially reverse the call.
That was a clear one, though.
I mean, it was.
And real time, I thought he got him, but that, the first time you saw a replay, you're like, it's not even in doubt. I
but
mean,
for those
he clearly beat him.
Rafael Hicks was on. Rafael speared a liner and then dove to the bag and got a double play. And so, he would have gotten
killed. Diggs would have just died.
So that's what's misleading.
Peppers would have just killed Diggs if you were taking guys to the ground. Yeah.
So that goes down as like a completion of Diggs, but like he would have been destroyed.
Yeah.
So Hicks got a little bit of benefit of the doubt there. I kind of like him. I know he's not great, and I know he's not somebody I can fully trust, but the guy throws gas. So, he's not somebody you want. You know, you need Chapman back ASAP. But one of the arms in the pen at some point, I don't know. I guess you could do worse.
No, that's your guy, Keith.
He is my guy.
Yeah, you're riding or dying with him. I'm riding or dying with my guy, Alcala,
which was a
slow death on Friday night.
For the 20 of us that watched the Disney Plus series Ironheart, one of the characters called the Hood looks identical to Jordan Hicks.
Oh.
You've never seen those two guys in the same place.
I certainly haven't.
Somebody tweeted me that. I'm like, you can't unsee it. Can't unsee it.
All right. We will be seeing everything here at Patriots training camp. Day 5, pads are on. Again, if that was a game setting, Jabril Peppers would have
been smoked.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Steph Diggs out there. Not that May even hung the throw, but that wouldn't have been pretty. So we'll continue to watch this. Competitive drills. We got thoughts as well on the Red Sox at the trade deadline. It's Thursday. It's close. Just a few days away. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending, and we're right back.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox earned the series win over the Dodgers after yesterday's 4-3 victory at Fenway. Sox were down 3-1 in the bottom of the fifth until Roman Anthony hit an RBI triple, followed by Alex Bregman's 2-run home run to give the Sox the lead. That was Bregman's 13th home run of the season. Tonight, the Sox begin a 3-game series in Minnesota against the Twins. First pitch is at 7:40. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw is perfecting the art of fresh. Richard Fitz gets the start for the Sox in the series opener against the Twins' Simeon Woods Richardson. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Christian Arkand beginning at 6:40. The Yankees have placed outfielder Aaron Judge on the 10-day IL after being diagnosed with a right flexor strain. Day 5 of New England Patriots training camp is underway here at Gillette. Today is the first full padded practice, and due to ongoing health issues, Colorado head coach Deion Sanders is expected to announce his retirement. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending at WEEI, WEEI.com.